This evening we shall study together from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21. Let us read from verse 1 all the way through to verse 22. Verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. Verse 4. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees, and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God, and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves. Verse 13. And said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were so displeased. Verse 16. And said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Amen. Now, my dearly beloved, in this particular chapter, there are some precious spiritual lessons for each and every one of us to learn. First and foremost, our Lord Jesus Christ requires an ass or a colt in order for him to set upon, simply because the Lord hath need of them. And also in this particular chapter, our Lord Jesus Christ cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves. As our Lord Jesus Christ says, that my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And finally, my dearly beloved, in this particular chapter, we shall also learn the lessons of not bearing fruit and the consequences of unfruitfulness. As you can see in here, the very moment our Lord Jesus Christ could find no fruit that grew on the fig tree, immediately the fig tree was under curse and withered away. Now keep in mind each and every one of these verses and the story that I've just shared with you include precious lessons for each and every one of us to learn today. Nonetheless, let us begin to dissect the spiritual meaning and let us read from verse 1 again. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then said Jesus to disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. Now, my dearly beloved, at this point of time, our Lord Jesus Christ would like to use a colt whereby he would be able to sit upon an ass in order for him to be glorified. Now, what is the spiritual meaning of the colt or the ass? In this particular story, an ass or a colt spiritually refers to each and every one of God's children and obviously as God's servants. And there are times that the Lord God would want each and every one of us to learn the lessons of waiting patiently. Thereafter, when the time comes that the Lord would like to use each and every one of us to glorify him, then the Lord would loose this particular ass or a colt in order to use them, whereby our Lord Jesus Christ would sit upon them and glorify himself. In other words, as God's servant and his children. The Apostle Paul tells us that each and every one of us can either be a vessel of honor that is sanctified and meet for the Master's use, or obviously a vessel of dishonor that could not be used to glorify our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? Simply because the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 2 as follows, But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So you see, my dearly beloved, this particular ass is going to be used by our Lord Jesus Christ in order to uplift his name as well as to glorify himself simply because our Lord Jesus Christ is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and yet he came down so lowly and meek and to dwell among us, isn't it? Now in Matthew chapter 12, verse 29 writes as follows, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And so, my dearly beloved, how amazing and lovely is our Lord God, simply because our Lord Jesus Christ, even though he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, yet he came down from the highest to the lowest and born in the manger and walked as penniless and homeless, meek and lowly in heart. And for that reason, our Lord Jesus Christ command each and every one of God's children to learn of him as meek and lowly in order for us to be able to find absolute rest in our soul. And so in here, if you notice very carefully, that the colt or the ass is but a servant of the Lord God, and a servant is not permitted to do any other thing other than glorify our Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? Just like in here, if you notice very carefully, when an ass or a colt is being used by the master, all we see is the king that sits on the ass and not the ass itself running around without the king, isn't it? And so as a servant of a living God, it is very important, as well as God's children, that we must walk in absolute obedience to our master. Just like this particular colt that is being tied in a corner, and whenever our Lord Jesus Christ would like to use the ass or the colt, then our Lord Jesus Christ would instruct the ass or the colt to be released so that the master have need of them in order for the colt to be able to permit the King of kings and the Lord of lords to sit upon an ass, glorify his name. And so keep in mind, my dearly beloved, we are no more than a colt. And as God's servant, we are not permitted to steal his glory. And it is very sad to note that there are some preachers out there. On the surface, they look as if they are serving God, but in actual fact, they did not permit the King of kings and the Lord of lords to sit upon them. But rather, they have been used by the power of darkness to sit upon them, and instead of glorifying our Heavenly Father, they have worshipped the things of mammon, and of course, committed spiritual idolatry, isn't it? And instead of being a vessel of honor, they have become a vessel of dishonor. Verse 6, "And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees, and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." Now, my dearly beloved, as the ass was being brought along so that our Lord Jesus Christ can sit upon, thereafter, a very great multitude also followed and worshipped our Lord Jesus Christ and giving glory to his name, isn't it? For that reason, when we walk in the shoes of being faithful unto our Lord God, in the footstep of the servanthood of Christ Jesus, as we uplift our Lord Jesus Christ and walk as the ass that is being used by our Lord God, obviously, we will bring glory to our Heavenly Father as well as the multitudes to rejoice and glorify and worship our Lord God, isn't it? For that reason, the Apostle Paul tells us through his word that as we uplift our Lord Jesus Christ as his preachers and as his servants, we can only bring glory and blessings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, just as it is written right here, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And so the Apostle Paul in Romans 10 writes as follows, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now keep in mind, my dearly beloved, the S in here refers to preachers and the servants of the Lord God that is used by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as the call. And the S in this particular story, so that our Lord Jesus Christ would be uplifted in his name, as well as to glorify our Heavenly Father. Verse 12, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Now, my dearly beloved, it is very important that as God's children, be sure that the temple of God, referring to our body, must be totally sanctified. And as our Lord Jesus Christ mentioned, the very fact that our body, which is the temple of God, must be the house of prayers instead of a den of thieves, isn't it? For that reason, the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 as follows. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So you see, my dearly beloved, in here, our Lord Jesus Christ cast out from the temple of God those that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Now, obviously, this spiritually refers to the very fact that within our heart, which refers to the temple of God, we cannot allow the things of mammon, such as the money changers, as well as the cares of this world, and the lust of other things, to choke the word of God and defile the temple of God, isn't it? For that reason, the Apostle John tells us that if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The love of the world include the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, as well as the pride of life, and all of these things will soon pass away, and only the will of God abideth forever. And so, my dearly beloved, in your heart today, let me ask you a question. What do you have that prevents you from loving our Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart, soul, and mind? Keep in mind that our Lord Jesus Christ had instructed each and every one of God's children the very fact that we all must love Him with all of our heart, soul, and mind, isn't it? As well as to love our neighbor as ourselves. And this is the first and the greatest commandment. And everything else will hang on it, referring to the very fact that all laws will be automatically fulfilled when we love Him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And so today, may I ask you, what is within your heart? Do you have the things such as money changes, the things of mammon, or the things of trading within your heart, such as selling the doves, referring to the very fact that you do not obey the Holy Spirit, but rather you would trade the Holy Spirit with the things of the world, isn't it? And so, if you have a heart that is constantly bargaining with the things of the flesh instead of walking in the Spirit, then obviously you have the condition of the temple of God, whereby our Lord Jesus Christ had to cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the table of the money changers. Now keep in mind that the Apostle Paul tells us to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law, as written in Galatians 5:16. And so, my dearly beloved, within your heart, do you have the things of mammon, the money changes? Do you have the things of the flesh that would sell the dove, spiritually referring to the Holy Spirit, instead of walking in the Spirit and buying the oil of the five wise virgins, obviously by obeying the Holy Spirit and crucifying your old flesh? Or do you have a heart that is worshipping mammon, the money changers, and trading the Holy Spirit with the cares of this world simply because you refuse to walk in absolute obedience to the Holy Spirit? And as a result, instead of becoming the house of prayer, you have made it a den of thieves, permitting the power of darkness as thieves to come through in your mind and in your heart, stealing all the time within your heart and mind the Word of God, so that you are unable to focus in the Word of God, neither remember His commandments, and instead of walking as the good ground, you have walked as the third ground, written in the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13. Now the third ground behave as follows. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So you see, my dearly beloved, if you have turned your heart, instead of being the house of prayer, you have turned it into a heart that becomes a den of thieves, then obviously the power of darkness would constantly fill your mind and your heart with the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches that would ultimately choke out the Word of God as well as grieve the Holy Spirit, isn't it? And so keep in mind that we can never permit the power of darkness to come through and steal in our mind and our heart from focusing onto the Word of God, simply because the very moment our heart become a den of thieves, then obviously we are abiding outside of Christ. And the very moment we abide outside of Christ, we are walking in darkness instead of light. And keep in mind that our Lord Jesus Christ tells us in John chapter 15, verse 5, as follows: I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And so the very moment, my dearly beloved, your heart become a den of thieves, which refers to the very fact that your heart has been defiled with the things of the world, then obviously you become blinded spiritually and unable to bear the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, simply because apart from me, ye can do nothing, our Lord Jesus Christ says, and there is nothing good in our flesh. And so if you resort to your flesh instead of walking in the Spirit, then obviously you can only bear the fruits of the flesh, which include adultery, fornication, uncleanness, pride, anger, craftiness, doubt, fear, idolatry, greediness, nervousness, lying, dishonesty, and so on. So you see, my dearly beloved, the very moment your heart become a den of thieves, I can guarantee you, you will manifest all of the fruits of the flesh, which I've just read to you, and you will not be able to experience the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, which include love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such, there is no law. Verse 14, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? And he left them, and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now, my dearly beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ is a God of love, and he's so filled with compassion that wherever he went, he would heal the blind and the lame. And in this particular case, the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and out of compassion, our Lord Jesus Christ healed them. However, it is very sad to note that the power of darkness continued to attack our Lord Jesus Christ, simply because amidst all of these wonderful works that our Lord Jesus Christ had done and much kindness, the chief priests and the scribes that saw the wonderful things that he did end up being so displeased instead of praising God, simply because they were filled with Satan in their heart. For that reason, my dearly beloved, today there are many, many religious leaders, even in many churches today, who do not glorify our Heavenly Father, but rather obstruct the ways of the truth. And these groups of religious leaders are what we call the false prophets and the false teachers. as well as the scribes and the Pharisees of the modern times, and they have obstructed others from coming to Christ simply because they have fallen into the sin of pride and hypocrisy. Just like the devil, on the surface they look, quote-unquote, to be godly, and they have given the impressions to others of the very fact that they are very religious. However, deep down in their heart, they are filled with the things of Satan. They are filled with sins instead of godliness. And so this group of people are constantly negating the works of the Holy Spirit and obstructing the truth of the Word of God from being preached in their church, as they had in their head the things of the Pharisees, the things of men, which obviously are the things of Satan, such as denomination, rules and regulations of their church, and so on, that override the Word of God, isn't it? And so instead of worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ and bringing glory to His name, they end up negating our Lord Jesus Christ, as they were so displeased, written in here, isn't it? And so it is interesting to note how our Lord Jesus Christ responds to this group of people, the scribes and the priests, and of course the Pharisees as well, by saying, "Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise?" Now, what is the spiritual meaning of "out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise"? In other words, keep in mind that King David wrote in Psalm chapter 8, verse 2 as follows: "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger." Now, babes spiritually refers to God's children who are trusting in our Heavenly Father for their spiritual strength as they journey along the path of the cross. Likewise, sucklings refers to baby that would suck the milk from the mother, isn't it? And totally depend on the mother to look after, simply because they are babies. And so suckling spiritually also refers to the same thing, that as babes and suckling, the very moment we depend in the power of the risen Savior instead of our own intelligence, then obviously the Lord God will continue to protect us by hearing our prayers and guiding our footsteps. And as a result, we have received spiritual strength and overcome our spiritual enemies, the power of darkness, isn't it? And thereafter, just as the Apostle John tells us, that whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. So you see, my dearly beloved, as we resort to the Lord God through our prayers and through remembering His commandments and act upon them, obviously, we are the babes and the sucklings, and it is through our lips that we will testify the glory of God as how He heard our prayers, isn't it? Just like the Apostle John mentioned right here, that whatever we ask, we will receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And likewise, the Lord God will always hear our prayers as we walk in obedience unto Him. And the very moment God hears our prayers, we will continue to praise Him, isn't it? For that reason, our Lord Jesus Christ says in here, "Out of the mouth of babes and suckling, thou hast perfected praise," referring to the very fact that we will always glorify Him, as we are totally dependent upon our Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? And our Heavenly Father would always remember us and guide us and protect us, as well as hear our prayers. Also in the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verse 15 writes as follows. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. So you see, my dearly beloved, our Lord God loves us so much that even if a woman will forget her sucking child, yet our Heavenly Father would never and could never forget each and every one of God's children, simply because we are His babes and His sucklings, isn't it? Verse 18, now in the morning as he returned into the city, he hungered, and when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Verse 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also, if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. Now, my dearly beloved, the story of the cursing of the fig tree that only has leaves but not fruit refers to the very fact that as God's children, our Lord Jesus Christ has ordained each and every one of us to be fruitful, isn't it? As written in John chapter 15, verse 16, that says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So you see, my dearly beloved, the very moment we only have leaves, referring to the showy kind of externalism, in terms of worshipping the Lord God, just from the external standpoint of view or religiosity, versus worshipping the Lord God in the beauty of holiness from within our heart, and genuinely loving Him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And as a result, instead of bearing fruits, when one worships Him in the form of religiosity, thereafter, obviously, just like this fig tree, instead of seeing the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, you will end up having only leaves. And my dearly beloved, it is very dangerous to only have leaves and instead of being fruitful, simply because, just as our Lord Jesus Christ mentioned, if we fail to bear fruit as we are walking in disobedience and not abiding in Christ Jesus, then we will end up being the cursed fig tree that will wither away. And as God's children, our Lord Jesus Christ instructs and commands each and every one of us to continue and constantly abide in Him. As in John chapter 15, verse 6 writes as follows, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And so keep in mind, my dearly beloved, it is very important And it is the greatest mission of being chosen by the Lord God is to bear much fruit in order to glorify our Heavenly Father, as well as be the disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? The very moment God hears our prayers as we abide in Him, thereafter we become fruitful. Now, it is sad to note that in many churches today, there are simply those groups of people that would only bear leaves but not show any fruits of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? And I'm afraid to say this, that until and unless you repent of your sins and your disobedience and crying unto the Lord God for mercy, just like the blind and the lame that came to him in the temple, you will end up just like the fig tree that will wither away and being cursed and thrown in the lake of fire, simply because if you continue to disobey the Holy Spirit and grieve the Holy Spirit and quench the Holy Spirit, and obviously there is no way that the Holy Spirit will bear the nine fruits of the Spirit in your body and in your life, isn't it? Now, and finally, my dearly beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ teach us a very important lesson when he says, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now, my dearly beloved, it is very important to pray by faith and by believing in the Word of God and His promises, isn't it? And the power of faith comes from the Holy Spirit, as faith is one of the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. And the very moment we receive faith within our heart, we are indeed abiding in the light and abiding in Christ Jesus. And that if we continue to abide in Him, then obviously whatever we pray, we will receive of Him, as it is the Holy Spirit that will pray through our lips, and it is not the prayer of the flesh. For that reason, that particular prayer of faith automatically will be answered, as it is the Holy Spirit that prays within our heart, isn't it? Now, my dearly beloved, there are so many prayers that God has answered, just as the Apostle John mentioned through his own word by saying, whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Personally, myself, I have experienced how the Lord God has answered each and every one of my prayer. And other saints also have experienced the same thing. Take, for example, George Muller, a precious saint from England that had written books, including the very fact that God has answered 50,000 of his prayers in his life. And personally, myself, God has also answered hundreds and hundreds of prayers. For that reason, as God's children today, we've got to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. And as the Apostle Paul says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh must believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, isn't it? And anything that is not of faith is sin. For that reason, whenever we pray, just as our Lord Jesus Christ says, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. And furthermore, if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done unto you. In other words, whatever you have petitioned, including something that is of impossibility in the sight of the Lord God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, my dearly beloved, in my life, I have prayed for everything and anything. And I have prayed for my husband to come. Within 30 days, God answered that prayer. And I have prayed to have a child simply because the doctor had told me that I could never have a child and the chances of me having a child is but 1%. As I have miscarried 3 times in a row, nonetheless, God has heard my prayer as I cried with all of my heart unto the Lord God, just as Hannah, the mother of Prophet Samuel, had prayed, weeping and crying for 4 hours. And finally, the Lord God answered my prayer and gave me his precious promises through the book of Isaiah, and even told me that the baby that the Lord God was about to give me is a boy. And true enough, in less than a few months, I conceived the baby and my son Isaac was born successfully and beautiful as the gift of my Heavenly Father. And so, my dearly beloved, do not be discouraged whenever you come before the throne of grace to pray before the Lord God. And just as I mentioned, the Lord God will always answer our prayer so long as we abide in Him and so long as we obey Him, and the prayer that we petition always glorify Him, isn't it? Now, my dearly beloved, it is time to part once again. May the Lord richly bless you through His words today. May you always abide in His love by keeping His commandment, so that the joy of the Lord might remain in you and your joy might be full. Let us continue to pray without ceasing in all things. And whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. In Jesus' most precious and wonderful name, I ask and pray for. Amen.